James was in his late 30s when he wrote these letters. His correspondents thoughtfully preserved them and restored them to him at the close of the events they describe. Ever methodical, James filed them neatly away in a folder, where they remained untouched among his papers until after his death, nearly 60 years later. James's parents had been born before the accession of Queen Victoria and experienced the momentous developments of that reign. At the time of the death of the Queen, James, following in his father's footsteps, was establishing himself as a portrait photographer in the small, growing town which became his home, the small town which was really an appendage of the great Midland manufacturing city, the workshop of the world, with its 1,001 trades, its great public utility undertakings, and its confident motto, Forward, a model of municipal enlightenment and prosperity. James, too, prospered in a modest way. This was the time when English domestic architecture led the world, and he was able to commission those same architects and builders who were providing the excellent houses for his better-off customers to erect for him photographic premises tailor-made to his own requirements, electrically lit, centrally heated, up to date, the envy of his fellow professional. With approaching middle age, James found he had developed into what was then known as an eligible bachelor. He felt he could begin to take things easier, leaving more to his little band of loyal assistants. He now enjoyed a quiet nap before returning to the studio after an appetizing midday meal prepared by his devoted landlady. In fine weather, he would slip away early for a round of golf or an hour or so's fishing, or in winter to figure skate on the frozen pools in the nearby park. He had begun to take holidays on the continent. No passports or exchange controls in those days. Merely a handful of golden sovereigns jingling in his pocket as he joined the boat train. But he was happiest, perhaps, bicycling freely through the peaceful, unspoilt lanes of his native Warwickshire for a prearranged halfway meeting with one or other of his five elder brothers, when business and family matters and the affairs of the day would be discussed. James and his contemporaries had supported the great liberal reforms of the early years of the century, which established the foundations of what we call the welfare state. They had turned their backs on Victorian stuffiness and Edwardian pomposity. They cultivated a jaunty, light-hearted, debonair, jokey manner. They were optimists. They believed in progress. Life was good, and there was no reason why things should not go on getting better and better. Now let's look at some of these letters.